save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.
Welcome to the Wire to Wire podcast. As always, it's me, your host, Yusuf. Now, without further ado, let's just get right to it. So, founder of Clutch Sports and sports agent Rich Paul recently released a book, and he's been on a press run promoting it. Now, one of his first stops was on the radio show, The Breakfast Club. Now, in this interview, he was basically retelling the stories that were in the book, but there was one part that really stood out to me. Now, in it, he brought up NBA legend and all-time great Allen Iverson, and he mentioned his deal with Reebok, as well as the relationship he has with Reebok. Now, at first, I thought he was throwing some subtle shots and jabs at him, and I was a little bit confused as to why he was saying the stuff that he was saying. Now, for the record, I'm going to break all of this down, but many of the stuff that he was saying was quite inaccurate. But looking at it, I think that there was multiple reasons why he said some of the stuff that he said. Now, I'm going to play a clip for you guys, and then I'm going to break it all down. But before we continue, be sure to like this video and subscribe to the channel. Now, here we go. Here's the first clip.
Commercials wouldn't even check. I was a Michael Jordan
fan. I understand
fan.
Everything you said about Jordan in the book. I understood exactly what you meant.
Yeah, but that's my thing. So,
like, Iverson was more culturally relevant to us.
Yeah. And, but okay, so when you think about a guy like Allen Iverson, imagine if Allen Iverson had a Rich Paul.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a different dynamic because I understand him. I understand culture. And I know what those braids and what that arm sleeve did. And
tattoos,
I understand the business that didn't necessarily go with Reebok.
Mm-hmm. Who would you have took him with back then?
Nike.
Did Nike understand it? Because he was there. It's not like I'm sure Nike offered him something.
Allen Iverson knew what his agent told him.
Mm.
You can spin it however which way you want to spin it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know culture, you don't know the shoe. How many pairs of sneakers you think his agent bought Allen Iverson's?
I don't know, but I know I bought a bunch of them.
But I'm just saying, prior to Allen Iverson, how many pairs of sneakers you think his agent probably bought?
Reebok?
Oh, no,
his
agent.
Oh yeah, probably none.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So how could you do a shoe deal for me and you don't have no. Because you're going to get very few guys that can actually move product. Mm-hmm. Everybody have a signature shoe, cannot move product. Mm-hmm. So that shit just for your ego.
So you guys heard Rich Paul there. So I want to preface my comments by saying that this is no disrespect towards him. This is not intended to be anything personal against him or his character. I'm just strictly critiquing that part of the conversation and what was being said. So in regards to what he was saying in that clip you just saw, he was being disingenuous and inaccurate in what he was saying. And I'll give credit to Charlamagne for pushing back on him with some of his comments, but here's why Rich Paul was wrong. So Allen Iverson was being heavily recruited by Nike. He participated in several Nike camps. He went to Georgetown University that was sponsored by Nike, and he even met with them. However, Reebok was hell-bent on signing Iverson, and they came in out of nowhere and landed him. And by the way, Iverson's agent at that time was David Falk. Yes, David Falk, the same agent as Michael Jordan. So by that time in 1996, he obviously already had a long-standing relationship with Nike. He knew the ins and outs of Nike, their company, their financials, but ultimately, they still decided to sign with Reebok. But the way Rich Paul is explaining it, he's framing it like the agent just haphazardly made a decision on behalf of AI and that he really had no say in it. And That is clearly not the case. They met with both companies, and ultimately everyone agreed that Reebok was the better choice. So Reebok more than likely offered more money, and there was probably some other intangible variables that they brought to the forefront that Nike didn't. Now, some of Rich Paul's biggest clients are signed with Nike, right? So he obviously has a long-standing relationship with the company. So Rich Paul actually has his own clothing brand called Clutch Athletics. And he ended up signing with New Balance for his clothing brand instead of Nike. Now, if Nike is so great, why would you do that? So again, as big and great of a company that Nike is, maybe there was something intangible that New Balance offered that Nike necessarily didn't. Now, of course, when doing business, money matters. But there are some things that are extremely valuable in business, particularly when it comes to having your own brand, that money can't necessarily buy or compensate for. So for him to critique it like Iverson made some bad decision, that was disingenuous to me. And looking back at Iverson's decision to join Reebok 27 years later, it was the perfect decision for him to make. So Reebok was able to appeal to an audience that Nike was never really able to. So Reebok successfully bridged the gap, right, between hip hop and basketball. And they did it in a very seamless and smooth fashion. Nike was never able to really do that. So they definitely innovated and changed the sneaker game with Jordans, for sure, 100%. But there was an authentic, a larger than life, yet a relatable element that Iverson brought that no other athlete was able to replicate in such a way. And by the way, you know, in the end, there's a part there where he said, you know, signature, you can create signature shoes, but can you create a big business? Well, Iverson helped Reebok achieve $200 million in profits when they launched his sneakers. And for a brief period of time, a very short period of time, he actually sold more than Jordans. And his shoe was actually the better performing shoe in Virginia, where he's from, and in Philadelphia, where he played. So in that case, Rich Paul, he got his facts wrong. But it doesn't stop there. So let's continue to listen.
My thing is, you can't help me make that decision. Now, you can help 99.9% of the players make a decision on a shoe deal, because it's just pretty simple. If you don't care about the brand, pretty much, most guys don't want to wear who's paying the most money. Because it's only going to work while I'm playing. But if you're an Allen Iverson, that ain't what you need. You need somebody that understands culture, understands cool, understands product. You get what I'm saying? Because you have the opportunity to build a business that can have sustainability in the marketplace much longer than you play.
So he insinuated that it wasn't cool. So damn near everyone remembers the Reebok commercials with AI and Jadakiss for the A5 sneakers and the A6 sneakers, right? Where Jadakiss was freestyling. And in one of them, I believe it was the A6, Allen Iverson was freestyling in that one as well. So Reebok was known for being cool. And in fact, Reebok also signed Jay-Z and 50 Cent. And they even had that iconic commercial of both of them freestyling together. Now, do you think Reebok lands a Jay-Z or a 50 Cent if Allen Iverson didn't sign with Reebok and give him that stamp of approval? Hell no. So, again, you're being disingenuous and inaccurate in what you're saying. And I'm going to explain why I think he's doing what he's doing later on in this video, but I just named some cool and iconic commercials that many of us grew up on, right? So Nike has been very successful and they have done well in many things, but at that time, that was one area where Reebok had them beat. And yes, they signed multiple star athletes and legends, such as Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, Durant. But for Nike, Iverson was the one that got away. And in fact, in 2014, they planned to release a unofficial tribute shoe called the Zoom Flight 96 as an ode to Iverson, and they wanted to use his likeness. But there was one problem. Iverson is not and was not a Nike athlete. So him and his lawyer at that time, Derek Challenger, they put Nike on notice, and they knew immediately what Nike was trying to do with these sneakers. Now, eventually, Nike decided to shelve these shoes, no pun intended, but they never offered any reason as to why they canceled the sneaker altogether. But when they did, Iverson's lawyer, he put out a statement saying the following: Nike is clearly trying to use Allen Iverson's celebrity status and persona to promote Nike's shoes. There's no other number three that played for the 76ers that came out of the 1996 draft. For Nike to use his status to sell shoes and not get his permission to not compensate him is bad business. Now, for context, here are the images of the sneaker that Nike didn't end up putting out. But as you can see from the branding and the color scheme, it was clearly a tribute to Iverson. Now, here's another interesting story as well. So Kobe, you know, God rest his soul, early in his career, used to be signed to Adidas. But then in 2002, he was meeting with Reebok and he was in talks to sign with them. And they even developed a prototype and branding for his sneakers. And I believe that they were going to call it the Assassins. So throughout the 2002 and 2003 season, he didn't have a shoe deal. So he was a sneaker free agent. So if you look up images of him throughout the 2002 going into 2003 season, you'll see him wearing Reebok Questions and even the Answer 4s. And he was actually wearing the Questions, the game that he scored a then record of 12 three-pointers in one game. Now, he ultimately ended up going with Nike, but even in his passing, his estate and Nike, they had a bit of a difference regarding his legacy and the treatment of his sneaker line, but that has since been resolved. But I say all of this to say, Reebok was definitely culturally relevant and they were a big player in the basketball game. So once again, Rich Paul got that part of it wrong. But it doesn't stop there. So let's continue.
Ability in the marketplace much longer than you play.
He still, you saw the answers though, don't you? Because it's something that his agent did. Or somebody took some money away from him or something?
No, they deferred based upon his spending habits. So they deferred his money, which was great. I'm not knocking that. But you also could have got the money right now and diversified his portfolio to where he couldn't touch it and let that money compound. And then when he made it, he's paying up. You know, then now he's paying capital gains instead of paying an income tax, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying for him, it was the right thing in terms of, oh, he likes to do this, so we're going to do this so he doesn't mess it up for his family or whatever the case may be, which you have to appreciate that. But there's also a side to where you can educate him on what you're doing and put that money in a you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not getting it to 52, then look at, I'm, what was he, 32?
Yeah.
20 years of that money not working for me. Mm-hmm. Is that necessarily the right thing too? Like, I don't know. I'm not knocking. I'm just saying the way I think versus, you know.
Gotcha.
So there they were talking about the pending payment that Reebok has for Iverson. So some of the details that he mentions are somewhat correct, but he's leaving out a lot of context. So I'll break it down. So Iverson signed a lifetime contract with Reebok in 2001. At that time, he was only the second athlete to ever get that type of a deal behind Michael Jordan. Now, there are five NBA players that have such a deal, including LeBron, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. But Iverson's representation and management was concerned about his spending habits. And I do think that Reebok, you know, they genuinely care for Iverson and his well-being. So they collectively work together that they would be able to put money aside for him that he can't touch until he turns 55, which will be in 2030, God willing. So the amount of money is $32 million. However, here are the details. So they pay Iverson annually up to $1 million a year. And then in 2030, he will receive a lump sum of $32 million. So essentially, it is a pension, similar to a registered retirement savings plan. So Rich Paul was saying that they can invest that money and make it work for him, and he can get charged capital gains tax versus an income tax. So in theory, what he's saying sounds nice, but I don't believe that it's applicable. So number one, let's just say that Reebok invested that money on his behalf and then they lost the money. What happens? Right? So from 2001 to 2030, it's 29 years. A lot can change in the marketplace and it can be volatile. So what if they invested it and there was a market crash or whatever the case may be and they end up losing that money? And if you think what I'm saying is far-fetched, go look back at the 1995 lawsuit of Adrian Dantley and David Falk and ProServe Sports Management. So Dantley sued them for losing $1.5 million of his own money due to bad investments that his agent and the agency he represented made on his behalf, right? And in 1995, $1.5 million is a lot of money. I mean, it's still good money now, but when you adjust for inflation, it's not the same, right? But that's an example of these things happening. And you can go back and there's plenty of stories that you can look at of former athletes who trust someone to invest money for them and it goes wrong. It's not a good practice to do that. Reebok is an apparel company. They're not necessarily a financial company, right? But again, what if Reebok lost that money? You know, what would that lawsuit look like if they did? It's just not worth them doing it. The risk of it is too high. Now listen, regardless of what year it is, whether it's 2001 or it's 2030, $32 million is a lot of money. I guarantee that almost every single person that's listening or watching this podcast right now, that $32 million would be life-changing money for you. So whether Reebok invested it or not, I don't believe is applicable in this scenario. And also, you know, kind of like I touched on briefly earlier, Reebok is not responsible for investing money on his behalf. Now, the terms of the deal is to put money aside for him. Investing is a personal decision that people have to make for themselves, and no one can do it for you. Right? Like I just said, we hear stories all the time of athletes, entertainers that trust their hard-earned wealth with people to invest it for them. And then look at what happened. DJ Envy. Right? These things happen. Plus, you know, income taxes are annoying. He's right about that. But let's be real. Iverson has lawyers and accountants. They can find ways around that pesky little thing that we call income taxes. And, you know, and the way he's positioning everything is that he's saying it like it's something minor. Now, again, his representation got him a lifetime contract at a time where it wasn't a common thing. In 2001, only Michael Jordan got it, right? And Iverson, throughout his career, he had numerous agents. So like I said, he started with David Falk, right? And then he fired him. And then he was in talks to sign with Magic Johnson as his agent in 99, but he didn't end up going with him. And then Leon Rose became Iverson's agent. And ironically enough, Leon Rose also became LeBron's agent in the summer of 2005. And that has a lot to do with what I'm talking about, but I'm going to get to that point shortly. So Reebok actually took care of Iverson and held him down through thick and thin, right? He had plenty of controversies and issues that occurred in his career on and off the court, but they stuck by him. Now, unfortunately, and this is something that bothers me to this day, but Iverson's career ended rather unceremoniously. He didn't really get that farewell tour. It just abruptly ended. And nonetheless, Reebok was there, and they're still there for him. They recently made him vice president, right, while they rebrand and look to the future in basketball. So clearly, they're invested in him. Back in 96, they bet their future on him, and it paid off. And they're willing to bet their future on him again now that he can help them find their footing in the basketball world. So business-wise and branding-wise, it made sense for them to maintain a long-term relationship with Iverson. So having said all of this, let's get to it. Why would Rich Paul say something like this? Now, I know a lot of you guys will hear my explanation, and it'll make sense to many of you, and you're going to have some that say, oh, you're reaching. Believe whatever you want, but here's what I think. If you go back and look at the clip, Rich Paul proactively decided to go on the spiel about Iverson. Charlamagne just mentioned his name, and then Rich Paul started going on a whole soliloquy about it. Now, the reason he did has less to do with AI, right? Who definitely caught some strays, but I think it's deeper. Now, for some reason, LeBron and Clutch Sports, they have been on this campaign to prove that he is the greatest player of all time above Jordan. They are chasing that illustrious GOAT title. And by the way, you know, Rich Paul is talking about LeBron's antlers are platinum and Jordan's are gold. But here's the thing. Goats have horns, not antlers. So you're thinking of a deer. Why no one in the media, with all these platforms he's been on, ever corrected him on such a small thing is whatever, right? There's obviously a lot of yes men in the media, so they're not going to correct him on something minor. But that's beside the point. Let's get back to it. Rich Paul is essentially trying to imply that he's a better agent than David Falk, who was Jordan's agent for his entire career, right? He's basically trying to illustrate that he understands the game better than him and that he could have done a better job because of his understanding of culture and business. Now, I don't believe that because I personally don't believe that the issues that Iverson faced has really been about how people professionally handled him. If anything, they proactively looked out for him by trying to save him from his spending habits at that time by even setting up a deal like this in the first place. Many of the issues that he experienced were unfortunately brought upon himself, right? But what Rich Paul is doing, this is all part of Clutch's collective effort to try to diminish Michael Jordan in a way and slowly chip away at his legacy. Now they're even targeting agents and bringing that into the equation. Also, like I mentioned earlier, Iverson was represented by Leon Rose, who also represented LeBron. And eventually LeBron switched to Rich Paul. So Rich Paul is trying to position himself by saying, I was better than all of these other agents because I understand things that they never did. And if AI had me instead of a David Falk or a Leon Rose, he would have been better off. So the message that they're trying to get out is simple, is that LeBron is a better player than MJ, Rich Paul is a better agent than Falk, and together, we've managed to build something that surpassed Jordan's legacy. And again, you may assess the situation differently. You guys might say, oh, you're reaching, you're looking too much into it. But to me, it's obvious that's what's happening. Because When Charlamagne brought up Iverson as a small example of how he was more in tune with the culture than Jordan was, Paul took that as an opportunity to go on this tangent and say this stuff. Now, you don't think he knew Falk was AI's agent when he started his career? You don't think he knew that Nike tried to recruit AI? I'm more than certain that he knows. He just saw a window to say what he had to say to further push this agenda of LeBron surpassing MJ. And again, Iverson caught some strays that I don't believe that he necessarily deserved. And all I ever hear from their camp is how much they love AI and what he means to them and what he means to the culture. But if that is the case, then why are you indirectly trying to diminish him to uplift yourself? And this is why I don't like this GOAT debate and why I stopped participating on it in this on my platform altogether, why I don't even get involved in it. And at first, I thought it was cool and it was fun, but then it lost its appeal for me. It's just a meaningless circular debate, and it's quite obvious that Clutch Sports has been trying to make this push for LeBron to be above Michael Jordan in that conversation, right? But the way I look at it is, if you're great, you're great. You don't need to try to diminish or pull down others to get yourself ahead. Let the resume, the game, the accomplishments, let everything speak for itself. And look, again, I don't mean any disrespect towards Rich Paul. This is nothing personal. I'm just critiquing what was said in that moment. And, you know, shout out to him. He came up in his own way, right? He was given an opportunity from LeBron, and then he put in the work to maximize that opportunity. But I get where his loyalty lies, of course. But there is no need for him to be doing all this and saying all that stuff that he was saying. And Charlamagne tried to correct him to the best of his ability on what he was saying, but I don't think he had all the facts handy to fully challenge him on what was being said. But, you know, this is the new media, and I have the receipts. And I can counter what he said because, A, what he was saying wasn't rooted in truth, and he was being disingenuous about it, and he wasn't providing context. I know a lot of these details, so I can challenge and push back on it and set the record straight on what's really going on. And I believe that he had an agenda behind his messaging, and I do believe that it was something that needed to be called out. But that's all I got for you guys. Be sure to like this video and subscribe to the channel. You can also follow me and the podcast on Instagram and TikTok. You can check out my 4 books. All of these details will be in the description. Thanks for listening. Until next time.